We'll call this meeting of the Finance and Judiciary Committee at 6:30 on Tuesday, January 16th at 5:30. Instead of 6:30. Special meeting, we have some minutes from the last meeting. Everyone get a chance to read. I've been writing all day, my mouth isn't warmed up. Any changes, comments, corrections?
Yep.
Good by me.
Here we have a consensus to approve those minutes, January 4th. Any changes to the agenda?
No, sir.
Nope.
Okay, this is a special meeting to expedite this next item in case it can be expedited, fit in with the budget timeline and council approval that would have to occur. And that is Building Inspection Services discussion. City Administrator Knupp.
Yes, sir. So in your guys' packet, I put together a proposal kind of outlining what staff is proposing at this point. Don't have a ton to add to it. A lot of it just kind of recaptured what we covered last time. Looking at this position being part of the public, part of planning, but reporting to Public Works. It's intended not to be a union represented position to give the city the flexibility for growth in the future within the department. We're intending as part of this, if the concept goes forward, to develop a intergovernmental agreement with like Cottage Grove or the county to cover the times when we don't have a building official for whatever reason, whether it's vacation, sickness, whoever we pick decides to move on and we need to recruit another one, you know, whatever the case may be, to help us fill those voids plus any inspection services we can't perform. Kind of went over the funding of it, figured based on the average for the last several years of $157,000, used that as the basis for the programming. I didn't really go into detail of other revenue ideas necessarily. I did throw out one example, but I know the wheels of Public Works are starting to turn to come up with some other ideas and ways that this person could help generate some additional revenue with some programs, whether it's the right-of-way program, cross-connection program, and the sewer fog, fats, oils, and greases program. A lot of what stifles those programs is having the person being able to help with the permitting side of that, and so much of those permitting overlap with building inspection services anyway. So it kind of makes sense to go that route, but those are all things that, you know, being permits, that there's fees associated with those that we just have never charged because we've never gotten the programs off their own. So with that, I'm looking at proposing to add about $110,000 to the personal services section. I feel that that will cover the salary and benefits for the position. Adding $20,000 to the contracted services to cover those times that we may or may not need to use an IGA. Adding $17,000 in the first year to the materials and services, with $7,000 of that earmarked for the fleet auction that happens in August, September of every year to pick up a used vehicle for the building inspector to use.
What kind of car can you get for $7,000?
We've gotten everything up to from Priuses all the way up to Ford F-250s.
Really?
Yeah, at the Lane County auction. We watch what EWEB rolls out more often than not. But typically we're right in that 5,000 range for, you know, something pretty basic like that.
If I may, you're planning on purchasing a vehicle when we have excess vehicles in our fleet now.
Not in the Public Works fleet, no, sir.
Or in the city street. You know, that Escape or whatever it is over there, it may not be an option thing for a police vehicle anymore, for whatever reason.
But that would be, we would look through the existing fleet, but I'm planning for worst case scenario. If I can pick up the, honestly, if we can pick up the black Escape that the police department has, that'd be great. That'd be perfect. We're done. But if I can't get something like that from their fleet, then I want to have a plan B in the budget. If for some reason that did happen where we didn't need it, then that $7,000 would drop down into contingency. That's where we'd move it if we can pick that up.
Okay, one more question if I may, Mr. Chair. Presently, we pay our inspector from the fees. They receive 75% of the fees.
Correct.
Why would this change? We're budgeting for funds. Are you going to say that the funds that we get for the fees is going to go into the bucket?
They go into the bucket today. Right now, the 75% that Claire gets paid goes into the general fund and then is paid out of the planning and building department fund.
Okay.
And so what we're saying is instead of paying Claire that 75%, we're going to use that 75% to run our own program.
Yeah. I think I understand the question specifically. Oh, sorry. But
what was budgeted for this year and next year for Claire so like we can compare?
This year is 149, if I remember correctly.
Okay. So that's kind of with me. So you're to wash there.
Yeah, and we figure we're gonna be higher. Last year was like 120.
Okay.
So
yeah, it's a figure of how much we bring in.
Yeah.
That's what they get paid.
Yeah, and I think I understand what Jack's asking, having sat with him on the budget committee for many years. I think what we're doing is the same as far as mechanics. You would still put the same amount in personal services. Either way, I mean, in this current budget year, are you using the personal services line item?
No, currently in this fiscal year, Claire is paid under materials and services.
Right. Okay, so they just get a flat percentage.
The 75%.
It goes into material services and then they're just paid out of that.
It goes into the planning bucket, yes. Okay. And then we just allocate it out under materials and services.
So in other words, you're just switching line items. You've allocated in the current year budget a chunk of money in materials and services to handle that money laundering process.
Will you alter?
You're just using a different line item.
Will you alter the revenue amount?
No.
Because you're going to leave
that. Not this first year.
Can we leave that alone?
Yeah, we'll leave that be. But instead of allocating it all under materials and services, we're going to split between materials and services, personal services, and contingency.
Are we going to try and do it so it's level? Are we going to do so that's balanced? Are you going to do the 157 for that coming in?
Yeah, I'm going to bake it in and out match.
Okay.
That's what we're currently
doing. I'm trying to think ahead for the budget committee, because if not, I know we have our council. They're going to want to make sure those numbers are probably matching.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll have 157 in revenue, we'll have 157 in expenses, and we're going to take the Claire expenses off the table.
Yep.
Okay, now.
That's what we do currently. It's a guess every year, but we do make budget.
Well,
we make it match in the guess,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How much money do we put in for the site? Because when they have to work extra, you know, overtime, whatever they call it, because it's not, we have something they have to do or come back and redo that's not covered by the fee.
Yeah, and that's a separate revenue line item, and I apologize, I don't have the budget in front of me, but we have a separate fee line item for that that covers those overages, callbacks, comebacks, whatever, for Claire services in general.
Okay, is that included in the 157?
No.
Okay, that's, how much is that? Do you have a figure on that?
It varies from year to year. We've had it low as just $2,000 or $3,000. Some years it's been high as $25,000.
Okay.
Is this an hourly position or is this a salaried position?
Salaried position.
So they may work a little overtime and it won't affect that at all.
Correct.
I'm curious how you can get around the union. Is that because they're an independent contractor, or how does that work?
It's based on the type of material that they handle. City planner is not a union position.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's in that same vein.
Gotcha.
Or Kitty, for example.
Yeah, the city recorder is not Our HR assistant, she's not.
Judge isn't.
Judge is strict contract, so there's, that's not that.
Okay.
Well, it's a good year to launch it. It should be a busy year, so you should be above average in revenue.
So, best case scenario timetable, would we want to get this, and we talked at council about starting this perhaps in July. Mm-hmm. Do you think we still can do that?
I believe so.
Okay.
I mean, because what we would do is if council's approved it and we're, you know, started the budget process and it doesn't look like there's any major firestorm over it, then we'd start our recruitment process.
So what we're going to be discussing is the budget for the following year. We're going to use the state revenue sharing to fund this for...
That's the other position.
Okay.
That's the...
Resource
development coordinator position.
I thought I saw it in here someplace that we were going to pay for it with...
We're paying for it with based on anticipated revenue in the year.
Yeah.
Whereas with the other one, we're jump-starting.
Historically, we've used a in-house guy, this has been many years ago. Bill knows probably more about that than I, but we used to have a guy that worked in our, quote, planner that did some. This position will be working in conjunction with the planner or for the planner?
In conjunction with.
In other words, you'll probably report to the public works director.
The intent is to help lighten the workload a little bit for the planner as well. I mean, this position takes some of those things off his plate.
Okay, now how are we justified? We used Terry in the planning department for a number of years. Now we pulled her out of there. How do we justify keeping her, that position?
The position, the admin aide assigned to planning no longer exists. So
the person does.
The person does. The position she's filling is just a straight administrative aide role at City Hall to help backfill with the various services that we deliver, plus quite a backlog of administrative work, records management, those sorts of activities.
We dumped the receptionist to make up for that.
Yeah.
But we also moved part of that receptionist down to public works for the taking care of the...
that was utility billing. The receptionist went away.
We had a separate, at one point in time under Administrator Bauer, we had a utility billing clerk and a receptionist, two separate positions.
Yeah.
The utility billing clerk at that time went down to public works.
Jessica went down there.
Yeah, and then the receptionist position, which was Gina at the time, when she went over to community services, we just never filled the receptionist vacancy. So
when I was looking at this, I went back and looked at the 2001 wiring diagram. We certainly added to that. To this staff here in the City Hall. You know, one time we had a city planner, not city planner, but a finance director, Barbara Scott, and Kitty. And that was pretty much it in the office. You know, Barbara Scott took care of finance and basically what Kitty's doing now. I don't know.
Quite a bit's changed in the last 17 years.
Population did go up by about 30%, including Dale.
Yeah, but our staff...
No, I was here then.
Oh, you were here then?
But our staff is only went up by 30%. I just don't know if we... When we move people around, we see to sort of want to keep the person and generate a position. I know this is sort of off topic, but we're still talking about money.
Okay. I would say in case of the planning aide, that position never should have existed, and she was moved from a position she was in previously into planning, and all we did is move her back and eliminate the planning aide position that never should have existed, that was never officially adopted by council.
Yeah, history on that is there was funding through the DOC for 3 years of that planning aide. And that position just stayed after the DOC kind of crapped out financially?
I have one more question on this. Is this going to be a financial neutral?
Yes.
So you're not anticipating that your planner is going to make the city some money by virtue of what they're producing, like the grant writer will make?
The planner or the building official?
The building.
Building official.
Yeah.
I would like to think they would, but...
We can't budget for it.
At this point, because I don't have a...
Well, really, the budget's not going to change in the way you do it, because right now, Claire gets 75% of what is generated.
Yeah.
The building official's not going to get any other than his salary, which is deducted from the overall fees in a roundabout way.
So, yeah, when you look at building and planning, the revenues versus expenses really shouldn't change. It's when you look at the details when you're going to see...
And this may be a cash plus deal, if it goes right. Is this 5 days a week? So we're gonna have less contractors on the street during the middle of the week.
Exactly.
Right. I think it's real conservative to, and I appreciate that conservative approach. I think it's real conservative fiscally to forecast it as revenue neutral. I think it's going to make us a lot of money, actually.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, a lot of people aren't pulling. Just talk to City of Montgomery.
It'll be,
nobody's pulling permits. They're just doing the work.
It will certainly be a roller coaster. We're going to have some, you can see in your chart, there's going to be some good years and then there's going to be some lean years.
And the hope, the intent would be twofold. The ideal world is getting the building planning department to the point where they don't need general fund revenue, to their percentage. But at the same time, to build up their ending fund balance, so if you have a lower year, it's not
going to kill you.
Didn't kill us.
You're going to make it a licensees type thing?
I'm sorry?
A licensee or, like water, sewer?
Oh, enterprise?
Yeah.
Basically, that's the goal, is to get them to where they're self-sufficient like that and don't need general revenue or property taxes to make ends meet.
You know, it seems to me that the grant writer and our new building will be able to work together on some things, and so they can turn over some rocks that either one wasn't aware of. So I think that would be really good planning to work together.
Well, you're going to have someone strong enough to maintain security, so to speak, if the guy that's building a house on whatever is pulling his permits that he has. How do we walk in there and say, okay, let's inspect what you got, let's see your tags? That's part of his job, right?
Is he enforcement as well?
Mm-hmm.
So he can issue citations?
Or she.
Yes.
Because yeah. I've talked to a couple of guys that do, like, Stuart Holderby is another one that does that. And it's kind of a sticky wicket sometimes. That's their work, not mine.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. If I was the inspector, it would be probably fire me for being uncooperative.
Corporal punishment. Now, if you haven't talked to Cindy Montgomery about her experience, she's a contractor who, with Montgomery Heating, who religiously they do pull all their permits.
They're famous for it. She had a few things to say the other night about another subject.
No, but her take on how many people out there are not pulling them.
That's right.
They're still going to.
Do we have an estimate? Any idea how many permits were actually getting done?
We have that as part of the planning report. I've asked Terry to start helping put that back together so we could actually track numbers of permits. But I don't have that.
I wonder if we're at 50%.
Well, anecdotally, some contractors like Cindy have told me that they have been on streets where there were houses being built and a lot of work going on, and they were the only ones.
Right. Yeah, right.
And the work needs to get done anyway, so if we're enforcing it, they'll have to pull it. They're not going to not.
Yeah, also, another thing is a personal experience. People that are doing work in Junction City have been pulling county permits rather than Junction City permits to get the same work done and inspected. I don't know how we can get around that. You know, if a guy, it's a plumber, he pulls a roll, 10 tags, he can do 10 jobs at $10 a cop, instead of in the case of a water heater, $87.
I would assume if you live on county property, you can do a county tag, but if you live in the city limits, I presume that you have to live within the city rules and regulations.
Correct.
That'd be my, I'm not a lawyer, but that would be my interpretation. That's a good question for Carrie.
That role you're talking about there, that's at the state level, so we still get a part of that $10.
So that's not part of the 87 that we would be getting.
No, exactly.
And I'm just using my water heater that was done, and how the guy went by, he said, this is it. He says, no, I have the tag in the truck, you know. He's already pulled a tag. He used it online. And there was an inspector down there the next morning. You know, it wasn't like they didn't inspect it.
So
it was a job I could have done myself, but I wanted to make damn sure it was done right.
Rear end covered, yeah.
What isn't covered? What can't they inspect?
It depends on the certifications of the person we...
Gotcha. So we don't know the answer to that yet.
Correct. Yeah. We're going to look for as much as we can possibly get, for right. Sure.
Gotcha. Usually electrical is the one that people don't necessarily have. On average. But sometimes you get hardly anyone out there has them all. Every jurisdiction works with the skill sets of,
In your opinion, are some of the other cities willing to work with us with an IGA?
Potentially. It all depends on what's going on at the state level right now and the Department of Justice's interpretation of the Building Code Division rules.
Right.
And that's, DOJ isn't backing down from their position, but legislatively they may or may not do something to work around that. I don't know yet. But
well, has Carrie given us an opinion, or she can only tell us what's happening right this minute?
She can only tell us what's happening right this minute. And if you look at it, the way DOJ is interpreting it, it matches the letter of the code. So, and when, you look at how sometimes these contracted services, what they're doing to get around that currently is a little shady at best. They're counting part-time staff hours towards program hours that really aren't the intent of being program hours, building program hours.
Are we within the law? Are we?
As it has been interpreted today, currently we are within the law. I think this will put us to where I see it going.
And this is a fluid position,
mm-hmm.
for that reason.
Yep.
In other words, if I'm correct, the Department of Justice sees the way jurisdictions have been working with groups like Claire as not really fulfilling the letter of the law.
Correct.
In other words, 2 days a week is not really 5 days a week in their eyes anymore.
Well, actually, more
it's not
so,
a complete building program.
It'd be in this example, City X, let's say you had someone like Claire Company, but it's part of what Claire, when they report to the state, is saying in-house staff, is they're using the time that the finance staff uses to pay the invoices.
Sure.
Your administrator who supervises the finance department.
But he's not doing any inspecting.
Correct, and that's what they're challenging.
To park the car, yeah.
Yeah, so technically they're involved, but the reality is they're not.
And that's the loopholes these builders are going around. They could put up a house, well, a portion of it, without ever having to see an inspector.
Exactly. So DOJ is not weighing in on the number of days per week, but they're challenging that definition of program staff.
So, Mr. Chairman, where do we go from here? What do we need to do?
Well, we exhaust any of your concerns, and then try to get a consensus to go forward or send staff back to fix anything that is bothering you if they can't fix it tonight.
The financial side of it really will be in our April meeting, right? It'll be brought forth from planning to the April meeting. In April, right, for budget.
Mm-hmm. The budget committee or council?
Well, the finance end of it, we'll say will be handled at the budget time. But here we're professing that this is what's going to happen.
Well, we're sending this to council because council has to approve all new positions,
right?
Create a new position, and then if they do that, it'll be folded into the budget.
And then work his way through the budget process,
right?
You have my support. I have no problems with this. It looks like
I like the program, and it's been a long time coming.
I like hiring staff that makes us money.
I read this over again this afternoon, and I was impressed with the job description. I think it's tight where it needs to be tight, flexible, where we talked about being flexible. So.
And in there, that's the same sort of thing that we talked about when we had that first RFP for a building inspector. And the same people we already had came back. All they did was change their figures and got the job again.
And the figures weren't less than what they were before.
I know, but they had planned on adding to that, but they had to reverse themselves. They just stopped sending as many people down there. Well, you better than I can know where you're at, because how many times did you call them up and say, I need something inspected? Well, we'll get to you.
It was extremely frustrating during the water treatment plant project, only having an inspector out twice a week.
Yeah, and like Mike Baum over here, thank goodness there was somebody, well, there was more than one person got involved in Mike Baum. And him not, it took him 3 weeks to get his job inspected over there. And I mean, he was talking to the head guy, Claire, more than once a day.
Yep. And that's the biggest thing I think we can improve on is people, it won't take 3 weeks because you're only getting 2 days a week. We'll have someone 5 days a week.
The only concern I can see council is going to have, quite frankly, is the covered for vacation and sick, the IGA coverage. So I think we're going to need to have something a little more than a nebulous. We're working on that for council.
I didn't want to put the cart before the horse and get my head handed back to me. If the council says, yep, we like this idea, then the next, we're quite honestly, one of the next things the council will see is a draft IGA.
Okay. We're going to need to do the dominoes.
We've already been having the discussions, but I didn't want to bring an IGA and then have be told, no, this is a crazy idea. We don't want to do this.
Does it have to be within Lane County?
No, but we just knew that between the county inspectors and Cottage Grove, you know, they've got plenty of inspectors at this point.
Yeah.
And they're close, so.
Cottage Grove is going through the same process right now.
Exactly.
So. Aren't they?
Okay. I'm kind of hoping maybe with Cottage Grove,
gotcha. They're a little ahead of us.
Yeah. Well, hoping with Cottage Grove, we can have a two-way IGA.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Didn't Crestwell go through something like this? Because they're having building expansion.
I know they're talking about it. They were talking about maybe doing some IGA work with Cottage Grove, but I haven't heard lately where they're at on that. But I know they were watching what Cottage Grove was doing.
Jason, you said two-way IGA. Does that mean we can make money helping Cottage Grove?
Cottage Grove.
When our guy or gal.
Yeah. with our staff as well. That's what I was kind of hoping.
Just set it up reciprocity. You check my bill.
Exactly.
Or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that would be my first.
You've got to do that in negotiations.
Yeah, that would be my first option is Cottage Grove. And then having the county is more of the fallback, because I know they have the full spread of what we need in a backup.
Springfield does too, probably. Mm-hmm. And they don't have, their urban growth boundary is running out of flat ground, so. They might have planners that need something. I mean, inspectors that need something to do.
I was looking at Lane County just because they're a little closer, because they have guys and gals are traveling around, because I know we'd get nailed for travel time.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of travel time, it's nice to have the discussion now about the car. Is the car for use from the office to sites and back? Is it for meetings? Is it for any business use?
Official purposes while on duty, yes.
We're not going to have to.
Yeah, no. But yeah, it's just so that way if they got to go out and do some inspections and then maybe, you know, have a meeting with a contractor to have to show something so they can run around like that. And that's why an escape size vehicle would be perfect.
We're going to treat it like all the other city vehicles. Mm-hmm. It's going to fall within that same policy, I presume.
Yep, absolutely.
Is this going to be a contract person or a staff person?
Staff person.
Bill, you got my support.
Contract's 30 days.
I'm sorry?
Is a contract a year with them?
No, it's not going to be a contract.
So they're basically on a month-to-month basis then?
They're just going to be a regular at-will employee.
Yeah. Okay.
far as Claire and transition, we'll burn that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah, we just have to give them 30 days notice.
Right, that's what their agreement is.
Yeah, my thought would be we should be pretty well done with budget in May.
When does the contract end with Claire?
It just got, it's got another year or two on it.
Is there a penalty? Is there a buyout penalty?
No, there's no buyout penalty, but there's a 30-day notification clause. And if we, you know, kind of start wrapping up budget by the end of May, we can give them the notice that as of July 1 will be, or whatever works, you know, been wherever at them.
They're not stupid, they're going to see it posted.
Well,
they didn't know Cottage Grove was happening.
Doesn't surprise me.
When we did renew their contract, was it in 2017 that we renewed it?
I believe so.
This committee renewed it. It was this committee with Stephen and Karen. But it was consciously renewed knowing that we were likely going to look at this. And I think Claire had to be aware of that at that time as well.
Yeah. No, it's not a surprise that it at least we were going to go out for an RFP to see through other agencies.
Yeah, it was kind of like there wasn't time to do our diligence in the RFP with the time that was left, you know, before that renewal point.
Yep.
But it was openly discussed on the record that we were.
So the time frame then is we take it to committee and in February. Is that when we do this?
Council,
I mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. And then hopefully they give you the okie dokie, and then you can post the position sometime in the spring.
Like in April.
Yeah.
You know, late April, early May. I'd like to have the initial budget.
So council will have to approve this, then they'll have to come back and approve the IGA, I presume. Is that correct?
Correct. From a step standpoint, they would have to approve the concept, approve the job description, and then an IGA when we bring that back.
Okay. So that's probably March-ish. So that time frame works pretty well then.
So with the transition, all things aligning, taking place with the fiscal year, have you thought about, let me put it this way, would Claire be handing off projects?
What we would do is, at the time we gave them notice, I would like to have our building official on board. But then we just draw that line in the sand saying, okay, from here forward, all new projects goes to our building official, they finish out what they have on the books and then done.
Yeah, I don't mean to make this more complicated, but it seems like if Claire starts on a major project that's going to go all summer and through the fall,
then we would just draw a line in the sand where they turn it over.
And they turn it over. Mm-hmm. Okay. You would have that flexibility.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like your smaller ones, it wouldn't be worth that transition.
Right. But in terms of their existing contract, there's not language in there where they would hold on to the rights to projects they were already involved in.
No. Actually, by the contract, they have to turn over all that information.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay, we're good then. I should say, too, none of this is really a reflection on Claire. It's just about timeliness and customer service and efficiencies on our end. And
I think for the 2 days a week they're down here, they do well.
Yep.
But that within itself is a problem. We need more days a week, and we need someone who's physically located within the city.
We're just getting too big and too busy.
Yeah, we're looking at the whole process. You know, we're going to streamline that. We're going to go online, so it's time to do something different.
And we got people working on the weekends and on holidays, as we just saw.
Yeah.
You know, they almost finished that one place.
Yeah.
The weekends are
the
real
east
busy.
Side.
They're throwing those up.
And there's nothing to say that a building inspector's schedule would always have to be Monday through Friday.
Right.
I wouldn't think it'd take too many weekend shifts before the word got out that,
I presume that's going to be one of your interview questions. Are you flexible?
Yeah. The builder, he wants to get that thing up, and there's sometimes a premium to getting it up, because time's money.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes people wait till the weekends because they know nobody's going to be checking if they have a permit.
Well, that'd be risky if you have to tear it out and do it again.
We haven't had to for a long time around here. So we have a reputation of being an easy place to, to build.
Well, hopefully we'll have just the opposite reputation, where we'll be, you know,
friendly yet aware.
First time we have a major electrical or a plumbing problem, of course that's with the builder and the people owning the house, but.
You know, just with the houses that are in the pipeline, we're gonna be over, I mean, we're breathing down Florence and Cottage Grove's neck in a couple of years. We'll be over 7,000 people here.
Yeah.
So that's a, that's
yeah,
a.
We could.
It's a great idea. I'm glad we're doing this. The timing is right. This is a great idea. Thank you.
Any further comments, concerns?
No, sir.
I believe that's a consensus to take this to council.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate
it. This will be in the February meeting rather than the work session.
Correct.
Is there any other business, gentlemen?
I have just a question. What all do we have on next week's meeting?
We have the off-street parkings coming back. We have the approval of the bills discussion. And then we have the insurance requirement discussion coming back. For insurance requirement, the 1 million versus 2 million for your events and whatnot.
How's that, that's gonna affect anybody that does anything extra here, like, is this a swap meet gonna have to have that type of thing when they?
If they're out in the public right of way, yes. That we've been at 2 million for a little while now, and this is really a discussion of ways to help these smaller programs stay at the 1 million umbrella. And not have to pay that absorbent amount for the extra 1 million. So there's different options there for the council to talk about.
Thank you.
I want to make sure that I'm clear. We have canceled the February 1 meeting and moved it to February 8.
Yes.
Officially, at the moment.
Because I'm going to be gone, and I think we decided.
Oh, you're talking about this. I'm,
this.
We're going to only have one?
No, this. The finance
stuff.
Committee. Correct?
Yeah.
So we do not have a meeting planned on Thursday, February 1st. Thank you, because I'll be gone.
Until I hear a groundswell of something differently, that's where it stands.
Did the judge imply, is she willing to meet with us, and is there a time that she's willing to meet with us, or do we know?
She would be glad to.
She had a conflict on the 8th.
Yeah, it's just a conflict, scheduling.
Not a conflict with me. Again, I'm the only one. Any further business?
All right, you're out of order.
Yes. Lurching towards adjournment. All right, we're adjourned.
Did you public safety meeting?